church, and appreciate again that we can again be about the Father's business with our finances again, and especially our missions. Faith Promise Missions has been a blessing. And so if you have a chance today to give, make it part of your worship to give. That's what the Bible says we ought to do. And so you give today as unto the Lord. Well, we're celebrating two things today, Grandma's birthday and Palm Sunday. So right now I want us to just turn our focus and let's look at God's Word and let's look at what we have here today for Palm Sunday. I want to finish on time here, so let me set my timer for 2.5 hours. No, that'll never do. And again, that'll help keep me on track here. If you've got a Bible, open it up to Matthew in chapter 21. I love this day. I love this message. I love the fact that when I was a young teenager, I was in a church, Tuscarora Baptist Church, where they clearly taught, again, about Palm Sunday, about the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the timing of all of this. And I've been a student of the timing of all of this ever since, and I've learned so much again, and it's been such a blessing to look at the timing of Palm Sunday. I want to, again, just go ahead and share a little bit of that with you today in Matthew and chapter 21. Of course, the triumphal entry again comes after the 3.5 year ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came, in fact, Matthew again begins with Matthew chapter 1 is the birth of Christ. Matthew chapter 2 is the wise men worshiping the Christ. Chapter 3 of Matthew is again the, I know this, the temptation of Christ. And then chapter 4, I don't think I got that right. Yeah, the wise men. And anyway, it's all the beginning of Christ. When we get to chapter 5, we find again the Sermon on the Mount. I've been preaching through this for some time. And again, when we look at that Sermon on the Mount, I want to say here that that is, Matthew is an introduction to the new covenant. We just came from Israel, and we see a whole bunch of Hebrews stuck under the old covenant. Boy, it was sad. But it was it makes you conscious that, again, we have a new covenant. Jesus said there's going to be a new covenant. And now, again, we're going to have the kingdom of God available in our hearts here on this earth. And he offered the kingdom there to Israel, and they rejected it. And Matthew, the whole book of Matthew, is pretty much a transition book where he offers the kingdom, and Israel rejects it, and they crucify our Lord. And so we've hit kind of a climax of that point right here in Matthew and chapter 21. And so let's go ahead and look at God's Word, at this accounting of what happened on Palm Sunday. And so Matthew and chapter 21, let's just go ahead and read the first few verses. You follow along in your Bible if you would. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. Father, praise you. Thank you for your word. Thank you again, Father, for how you explicitly lay out this week of passion in the life of your son. Thank you again for the detail. thank you again for such a change in a Christian's life, Father, that's born again and eager to learn about how that happened, that we could be students of this passage of Scripture. Father, that you'd enlighten hearts even here, that we'd have a holy worship for you on this Lord's Day, and especially next week when we come to Resurrection Sunday. We'll praise you now and thank you for your touch on your words. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen. We see here again, as it were, the offering of the Lord Jesus Christ as he comes into Jerusalem. His 3.5-year ministry has been over. We have watched again and walked with him into the streets of Jerusalem over and over again during that 3.5-year. And this is his final entry into the city of Jerusalem. It was said by our guide, I think it was in November, that Jesus didn't like to be in Jerusalem. Boy, we like being in Jerusalem. That was something. But understand that it is a hustle and bustle. It was a church or a city filled with religiosity, yeah. Even as it was then, so it is now. And so Jesus here, as he comes in to Jerusalem, he comes to affront the only religion that God has ordained, and that's Judaism. There's no other religion that God has ordained. We looked again at a lot of the Catholic places and teachings over while we were over there, and they again made things up as they do as a religion, but again, that's a man-made religion. And so there's only one religion that's God made, that's Judaism. And here we're looking at a transition where they're leaving that and going to a new covenant, a new promise. And they're leaving all religion behind. Can I say that? When people get saved, some of the world says, oh, they got religion. No, we didn't get religion. When you get saved, you don't get religion. You get a relationship, praise the Lord, and that's what changes us. And so religion is man's continual attempt to please God, and it's always fraught with failure. It will not get there. God came and sent his Son to change the heart of man so that again, we could have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and have a relationship with him. So let's look now at this portion. And again, here they are. They're ushering him in for the last time into the city of Jerusalem. Before we read these next verses, hold your place here. Turn back to John in chapter 12. This account of his triumphal entry is given in all four Gospels. And each Gospel is a different perspective, a different look at the presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not got contradictions. It's not complications. It's all just a different perspective looking at the different outreaches of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew, he came as king. In Luke, Mark, he came as a servant. In Luke, he came as a man. And here in John, he comes as God in the flesh. And he dwelt among us in that way. So anyway, John chapter 12 says this. Then Jesus, count them, 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany. Passover, again, was on the 14th day of the month. One day before Passover would have been 13th of the month. What was 6 days before Passover? 14th. 13, 12, 11, 10, 9. I got the 8th. Are we good? Okay, so here we are. I got to get a calendar out here and think about this. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was. And let's say that was on the 8th of the month of Abib. Their months are different than ours. They're lunar months, actually, with 30 days. And so here it is on the 8th day of the month, 6 days before Passover. They came to the house in Bethany. There again, they met with Jesus and then the Lazarus. They prepared them a meal and they sat down to a great feast. Stop. Think. If they prepared him a meal and they sat down for a great feast, Was it the Sabbath day? Those of you who just came back from Israel know that on Sabbath day, they don't prepare meals. You eat a cold breakfast again if it's kosher. And so, no, it was not on a Saturday. So this eighth, again, was undoubtedly on a Friday when he came into town, and then he sat on the Sabbath. Look at verse 10. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. And so again, that'd be the Saturday. That's when all the priests gathered together. We looked at the building again where they gathered in, up there on the Temple Mount. We looked again at, again, all of the time that they spent there. And they gathered for a holy convocation on every Saturday. And so that's your Saturday right there, Sabbath day. Look at verse 12. On the next day, much people. 8th, 9th, 10th. So it was on the 10th day of the month. Y'all with me so far? We've just to follow in the calendar. Go back to Matthew chapter 21. Let me just hit this verse. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, verse 6, and brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And so again, there you have the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. Hold your place there in Matthew. Turn back with me to Exodus, the book of Exodus, and chapter 12. Lord willing, I got a bookmark in there. Exodus chapter 12. And I'm going to say I didn't even get my notes out here. I'm just winging it. So Exodus and chapter 12, I just wanted to read just a couple verses so you get the fear. This is a feel of this. This is where they're setting up for the Passover. That again is they come out of Egypt. Look at verse 3. Speak unto the Exodus chapter 12 and verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying in the 10th day of this month. Is that what your Bible says? In the 10th day, this is the first month, this is the month of Abib, speak ye to all the congregation, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take of them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Look at verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day. Is that what your Bible says? You're going to keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Memorize that verse. Keep that in your thoughts. Again, as we look at the triumphal entry, I want us to recognize that they separated the lamb. They separated the Passover lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, John said. And they separated our Passover lamb, as he's described in 1 Corinthians. Our Passover lamb. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Think about all the applications of what's happening here. And so now we see again here on this 10th day of the month, on a Sunday, the 10th of Abib, back in Matthew chapter 21, verse 8. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? Let's go back and revisit the fact that this is the king coming to his own, as it says in John. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came to Jerusalem offering himself as the king, And their question was, who is this? Remember when, over in the Gospel of John again, right after he was baptized, two of the disciples of John saw him coming, and John the Baptist said to them, behold the Lamb of God. And they went and they followed him. And here's what they said. Listen, here's what they said. We have found the Messiah. And Andrew quick went and got his brother Peter. And they came and said, we have found the Messiah. Listen, this is the Messiah, the anointed one of God. It's interesting that Dave in Sunday school was talking about Messianic Jews. You know, if you run into a Jew in Jerusalem and you ask him, are you a Christian? He'll say no. They don't like that word. It's Greek. It's Greek to them. And they call themselves Messianic. Now, to me it's trite because Christ means Messiah. It's the Greek for Messiah. And so, again, when we say we're Christian, we're really saying in that language that we are Messianic. We believe in the Messiah. And so get that so stuck in our heart that we recognize why the world hates Christ. I was in the military and asked to pray again and to lead our group in prayer. Whenever we had a gathering again, they'd ask that we'd pray. And they very often called on me to pray. And so I'd pray. And when I closed my prayer, I prayed, in Jesus' name we pray. Boy, they hate that name. And I had, again, some of the chaplains come up to me and said, hey, you got to stop praying in Jesus' name. And I said, I'll never stop praying in Jesus' name. You can put me up for court-martial if you want. You do whatever you want. I'll not stop praying in Jesus' name. He's my Savior. He's my God. We got a bumper sticker on our car that says, in God we trust. And Jesus is His name, praise the Lord. And so again, understand here that they recognized Him as the Messiah. What did these people recognize him as? And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, I'm in verse 10, who is this? And look at the answer in verse 11. And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth. Listen, if all Jesus is to you is a prophet of Nazareth, I've heard Barack Hussein Obama's testimony that he believes in Jesus the prophet. That's it. He doesn't believe in Jesus the Savior. He doesn't believe in Jesus the Messiah. He doesn't believe in Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. John writes, again, at the close of his gospel, that these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son, the Savior sent to this world. And listen, that's what you got to believe. Here, they did not believe. And so they took the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the next few chapters here, they nailed him to an old rugged tree. I want to say here, as we walk through this week, I want that we would again understand that, hey, some things happened here in this chapter. Notice again that you go on down and look at verse 18. So they ushered him into the city. And again, the religious leaders were opposed to all of this and fought against him at that point. If you look in verse 18 and on down through, in the morning he came back. Well, first off, he went to the temple. Remember, that's what made them mad about his authority. He cleansed the temple. He made a scourge and he threw it over to the money changers. And he cleaned everything out of the temple. Then he went out of town again, came back on Monday. In verse 18 through 22, he came back into town, saw a fig tree and cursed it. And again, then he went back in. And what did he do when he got back into the temple? A lot of people miss this, but if you look at your Bible carefully, he went into the temple and he overthrew the money changers. And he threw them out and he made a scourge and he cleansed the temple again. He did it on Sunday night when he first got there. He did it on Monday here in this text. And then again, the next day again, he came. That would have been a Tuesday. He came back in, and as he came back in, the disciples saw the tree that he had cursed. And they wondered that it was, and he began a teaching lesson. Bible says in Mark and in Luke that he was daily with them in the temple, teaching from early morning until dark on Monday. On Sunday there, after he cleaned the temple, until dark, and then he went to the Mount of Olives. Mount of Olives is a Sabbath day's journey, by the way, if you don't know what that is. It's in Acts chapter 1, I think verse 12. Notice that he stayed within a Sabbath day's journey of Jerusalem because he had business to do there. And so on Monday, he was daily in the temple teaching. On Tuesday, he was daily in the temple teaching. On Wednesday, follow your calendar, 10th, 11th, 12th. On Wednesday was the 13th. What was the next day? The 14th. And on the afternoon of the 14th, that's when they were going to again take and slay the Passover lamb. And listen to me, that's exactly what they did. On Wednesday again, he gathered with his disciples. He taught from early in the morning in the temple. Then he gathered with his disciples and they had a Last Supper. This Wednesday night, if you can be here, we're going to gather together. We're going to have a communion supper. Just because of that event, to understand again that we're in communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're a born-again Christian, we need to be in communion. And we needn't be ashamed of it. We can stand up in front of God and everybody, just like we did when we were baptized, and tell God and everybody that I'm a born-again Christian. Now we're going to gather together with other believers and we're going to give testimony together that I am in sweet fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I am in communion with Him. So there at the Last Supper they had, and then He went out into the garden of Gethsemane. We were at Gethsemane. We prayed where Jesus prayed. And again, that night, he was taken. And they dragged him off to Caiaphas' palace. As best we can figure, we was at Caiaphas' palace where they took him and questioned him and put him on trial, scorned him and mocked him and sent him off to Pilate's judgment hall. So again, when we walk through the events of this week, here's what I do, is I try to read every teaching that Jesus gave during his week of passion. Every teaching he gave on Sunday, every teaching he gave on Monday, everything he said on Tuesday, especially that Wednesday when they spent time alone with his disciples, explaining what was going to happen in the next few hours. And then they let him off to be crucified. And so again, as we walk into this week, boy, let's remember what Christ did for you. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took my place. He took your place. And if you call on him, you'll be taken out from condemnation and be given eternal life. That's by grace. So again, as we walk through the events of this week, boy, let's remember the price that was paid, but let's rally again in the fact that he did that so that I could go free. He, again, was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Father, how I praise you. I thank you again, Father, for your word. I thank you again that we could study it just now. And as we do, Father, I'll pray again that you'd just now touch our week as we'd hallow it as best we can, to observe again what your Son went through in these days of the Passover. We know again that they're celebrating Passover, and our Easter Resurrection Sunday is always the Sunday after the Jewish Passover. Because again, That's when you sent your Son to die on a cross for our sins. Thank you again for these scriptures, again, that point to all of this timing, the acceptance and the rejection of your Son. And Father, I'll pray now again that you'd tug on our hearts anew and afresh to recognize again what you did to save us. And help that we couldn't be silent this week, but we'd have to tell somebody else what you did to save the likes of us from eternal punishment and condemnation. For you sent not your Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We thank you for that and rejoice in that salvation as we worship today. Pray your blessing now on each thought, each moment we'd have in this week. Bring us together at the appointed time on Wednesday. Father, may we rejoice in your goodness to give us everlasting life. We love you. Thank you for your worship. In the name of Christ, we pray just now. Amen. Normally, I'd ask you to stand. I won't today. But let's do this. We sing a chorus around here that talks about being thankful for our salvation. We'll go through it a couple times. And let's just rejoice in so great salvation. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. One more time. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Lord, bless you for being in the worship service with Grandma today. And Lord, bless you. We're going to do this one more time. We're going to sing Happy Birthday to Grandma. If you don't sing, you don't get a piece of cake is how this works. Is that how that works, right? And so we could have made it. If you don't put a dollar on the dollar, no, we won't even go there. Let's celebrate together. Let's start by singing Happy Birthday to Grandma. Happy birthday to you. Woo! Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Grandma Lamar. Happy birthday to you. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Yeah, praise the Lord. So we're just going to celebrate till TV2 shows up for photographs.